everyone. Before we start, I wanted to let you know, if you would like to watch our whole service, head to our website. That's dc2.me. And from the media drop-down, click sermons. You can watch our whole service there. And now, here's this week's sermon.
Good morning. My name is Jacob. I'm one of the pastors here. And if this is your first Sunday with us, you may notice a lot of little ones in the room. This is not a normal Sunday for us. We do these a couple times per year, and there are a few reasons we do them. Before we get into those, and before I explain why we do these, I want to start by talking to the kids in the room. Hey, welcome. Glad you're here. Today's obviously a little bit different, but if you're a kid in the room, there are a few things I need from you all. First, the worship. When we get to the end of the service, we're going to be doing worship together. I want you guys to help show us how you all do worship in the basement, especially our kids. And for the teens and the preteens in here who are entering this world where you're just a little bit cool, this is a chance to let loose a little bit. Today should be a day for fun and energy, not just a day to be somber and quiet. Second, I have a challenge for the kids in the room. During service today, I have three different times that we're opening the Bible. When we get to those places, I want you to write down what those verses are, just the numbers of the verses. You don't have to write down the whole thing. And I want to give you a challenge. I want to see if you can memorize one of these. For the next 4 weeks, for the next month, I will be here. And if you can memorize one and come find me and tell me it, I have a prize for you. And in fact, I have two short ones, two easy ones, and I have one really long one. For the long one, I have an even better prize if you can do it. Okay, come find me. Adults, there are no prizes for you, so I'm so sorry. And third, I have some stuff, kids, that I'm going to need you to do or talk to your parents about after service. So listen up, pay attention, so you know what to talk to your parents about. Got it? Got it. All right, now for everyone, what are these Family Sundays about? One, just logistically, we use Family Sundays as a transition between spring and summer and summer and fall. It's kind of our way of drawing a line in the calendar, and when you come back next week, our children's and student ministries will be in their fall calendars. But second, and I think more important, is a Family Sunday hits a couple of pretty core values for us as a church that I believe are near and dear to God's heart and are vital for a healthy church. On our website, we have a list of our values. And there are two values that I think our Family Sundays hit pretty closely. Time together and discipleship and formation. You see, we actually have the ability to learn and grow a ton when we surround ourselves with people who aren't quite like us, who aren't from the same age and stage as us. And remarkably, we actually have the ability to learn a lot from people who aren't even able to legally drive yet, which makes a Sunday like this a pretty remarkable place. Today, we have a wide array of ages. We have young kids in here, some of whom are eyeing the exits and chomping at the bit to get up and run while their parents do everything they can to keep them in place and question why we would ever think a Family Sunday is a good idea. I want to address you first. I recognize that. Being on staff for a while, I remember when my kids were younger and our former pastor, Steve, would say, "Hey, we're going to do a family service." And I was like, "That is the worst idea ever." Because my kids are going to be looking to go. My kids are going to talk. My kids are going to be loud. I'm going to be stressed out. Hey, if you're one of those families, if you have young kids, if your kids won't sit still, just know you're never going to bother me up here. Probably. You're probably never going to bother me up here. I want to encourage you to enjoy it. I actually think that there's a lot of joy in doing a service like this and having the little noises throughout the room, because when it's all adults in here, we're pretty quiet. All right, we also have older kids in here. Those who are looking around and hoping that this is a little more fun and interactive than a normal Sunday, and they're afraid that it won't be. We have teenagers and preteens who are on the younger end of the spectrum and are still a little more childlike than mature as they're navigating the world and growing into who God is making them. They're figuring out the world of middle school and societal norms and how fast they should grow up while at the same time desperately clinging to still being a kid and having fun. And we have teenagers, all the way up to those who are almost out of the house. They can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and they're stuck with a mix of excitement and trepidation for what's to come. Everything will change soon, and all of that running to grow up is finally catching up with them. And we have a few others in the room as well. Young parents, old parents, empty nesters, people just starting out adulthood and figuring things out, those who are childless by choice, those who are childless not by choice, those who are single, those who are divorced. We have business people, we have tradespeople, we have creatives, we have deep and logical thinkers, we have planners, and we have pantsers. Pantsers being those that fly by the seat of their pants and make planners feel like they're going crazy. And amidst all of that, we have a God that loves and cares for us deeply, and who I think cheers every time he sees something like this, a group of people getting together in his name who don't quite all look the same, who don't all think the same, who aren't the same ages, genders, experience, or faith levels. We have a God who wants church to be more of a melting pot than a stratified division based on preferences, age, and gender, and that's a family service. So if we feel a little different today, if we feel a little uncomfortable, if we're not sure about it, let's take a moment and try to breathe a sigh of relief as we're getting to experience a real intergenerational service. All right, hey kids, for those of you who don't know, intergenerational means groups from all ages and stages coming together, but you're all pretty smart, so I'm betting most of you got that from context. We're in our discipleship series, Hero of a Thousand Faces, and I thought we would be remiss if we missed an opportunity to talk about a huge aspect of discipleship with all of us in the room, namely the fact that kids need people to disciple them, and teenagers need people to disciple them. Well, and young adults in their early 20s need people to disciple them too. And so do people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. So do people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, which makes this really fun because we have a whole crew here who fits that demographic. Namely, the fact that none of us are too young or too old, too mature or too immature, too advanced in our faith or too early on our path to need help and have people walking with us, people standing in our corner. And at the same time, none of us are too old or too young to start walking with others. In fact, this all becomes really beautiful when we start doing this together. I want to start with what we do as adults and what I think our responsibility is as adults towards kids. If you have a Bible, we're going to take a look at Joshua 4, 19 through 24. If not, it'll be up on the screen behind me. Hey, kids, this is the first passage that I'm going to give you a chance to memorize, and this is the long one. This is the big kahuna if you're able to do it. Write down Joshua 4, 19 through 24 and look it up at home. I'll make sure we leave it on the screen for a minute after so you can write down those verse numbers. Joshua 4, 19 through 24. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" Guys, can we talk about the power of story? It grips us. Joshua looks at his people and he says, "Hey, one day your descendants are going to come here. They're going to see these stones. Now, these stones, they mean a lot to you and me. We were here. We saw it firsthand. We saw what God did. We saw God in his power and his glory. We had this experience where we saw God move in our lives. But your descendants, they didn't get to experience what we did. They didn't get to see God at work. They didn't get to see God move. So tell stories. Tell them what God did. Tell them how he showed up. Tell him how he showed up for us and for you individually. As we as a church talk about discipleship, the series we've been in, as we talk about descendants, those generations that follow after us, I have a question for you. What are your stories? How do you tell people about where God has been at work in your life? And how do you tell about the experience you've had? Hey, if you're not sure how to walk with someone in faith, let me give you two easy steps. Step one, just show up. that right there puts you way ahead of the game. Just show up. Step two, share stories and see what happens. Share stories about where you've seen God in your life. Share stories about where you haven't seen God in your life. Share stories about times in your life that you have been on cloud nine and you've really seen God at work, and share times that you've been in the valley. You're not sure where God was. Share stories. See what happens. All right, hey, kids, can I give you a job for today? Are you all paying attention? Okay. Find an adult today. Find an adult in the room, and with your parents' permission, of course, ask them to tell you a story about their relationship with God. Ask them to tell you where they've seen God in their life. Ask them to tell you if they have places they've ever seen God show up. Can you do that for me? Can you remember that? Yes. Hey, adults, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, and some of you are already looking for the door. That's okay. There's an off chance that a kid may come up to you. So this is fair warning to start thinking of your stories. And then, depending on the story you're telling, make sure you tone them down to PG-ish, please, if they're not already there. And this request isn't actually mine. I'm actually stealing this from somebody else. One of Jesus' disciples, a guy named Peter. Peter gave a similar instruction to his followers in 1 Peter 3:15. He wanted people who knew Jesus, people who were following Jesus, to know stories. Hey, kids, this is the second verse to memorize, and this one's a little bit easier if you decide to go this route. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. If you're a follower of Christ and you're not in the habit of carrying around your stories, get ready. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope you have. What are your stories? And kids, who are you gonna ask to tell you their stories? All right, let's flip this the other direction now. I've asked kids to tap adults because I think it's so important to have caring adults in our lives. But what about the adults in the room? When we talk about a family service, it would be really easy to point to two different groups in the room today. Kids and adults. But earlier I talked about the huge division of kids in the room. Birth to 18 has so many different stages, so many different areas we can look at and can't believe how much a kid has grown up. The gap between a single year can feel like you're talking to a completely different person, as any parent will tell you. The gap between 13 and 16 is only 3 short years, but in that time, kids get ready for their driver's license. They think about college and career and stepping into the workforce. Those 3 years separate childhood from being a young adult, and it's such a short time. What about for adults? Did you guys know that being 18 years old makes you officially an adult? But for most of us, who we were at 25 isn't who we were at 18. And who we were at 30 isn't who we were at 25. And when many of us signed the paperwork for our first mortgages, most of us were terrified and still didn't know what we were doing. And we're kind of surprised that they would just give us this house and let us pay that much money. For those parents in the room, there can be this feeling that when you finally are starting to get your kids figured out, you're finally at the stage where you're starting to get it. You're starting to get in the routine, you get it. They just move into a new stage and you're figuring it out all again. It can feel like you're always in foreign territory. Parents, if this is you, you're not alone. I'm right there with you right now. If we have any small business owners, they can tell you about the difference between when they started out and where they were 5 years later. They can tell you about the hard lessons they learned and the things they didn't know that they didn't know. And in fact, many will probably tell you that they know that there are things they still don't know, and they're terrified for when those things are going to pop up unexpected. If we have people who have climbed the ladder at their jobs, they can tell you about how they worked their butts off to get to where they are now. For many of them, they got to a place where they realized, wow, my accomplishments got me here, and wow, I barely know what I'm doing. I really hope nobody realizes. The gap from 0 to 18 is huge and has a lot of divisions. So does the gap from 18 to 30, and 30 to 40, and 40 to 65, and 65 to 80. And I don't know about you all, but when I was younger, I looked at some of these wise adults I knew, and I thought, man, one day I'll get there and I'll be able to breathe because it really seems like they have it all figured out. Now I look back on them and I think they really were amazing, but I'll bet they were still just figuring things out too. They didn't have it all together either. This week I did a few quick Google searches, a Google image search for mentoring of different generations. Here's what I found. We have mentoring of Gen Alpha. We have mentoring of Gen Z. Mentoring millennials. Mentoring Gen X. Mentoring baby boomers. Do you know that it turns out no matter what generation you come from, no matter how old you are, you need mentors? You need people discipling you? You need people in your corner helping you walk through life, that you never age out of it, that there's always someone to learn from, there's always someone to walk the trail with you, and that there are always people who need someone in their corner that you can step into as well. There's always people that need you to walk the trail with them. When I first became a parent, I was given a piece of advice, and I think it's some of the best advice I ever received. Find someone who's just a little further along than you. Maybe it's someone whose kids are a little older than you, or maybe they're just in a slightly different life stage. Maybe they're further along in their career, or they seem to be doing well in an area that you're moving into. And just ask them how they got there. Find out what's normal and what's abnormal, what to be scared about and what to be excited about. As a parent, there's this conversation that I have with good friends whose kids are just slightly ahead of, hey, my kids are doing this. Is this normal or should I be scared? And 99% of the time, it's normal, and about 1% of the time, it's scared. We've used this analogy of trail guides before, and the best people I know are people who don't see themselves as trail guides. They just see themselves as someone a little further along on the journey. And man, they have so much to show as I talk to them. The stories they share, the things they've experienced are life-giving as I walk the trail just a little behind them. Hey, people in the room, looking at our series, Hero of a Thousand Faces, looking at the journey of Jesus, journey of Paul, looking at this situation that Paul set, that Jesus set up, that God put in place, who are you tapping to walk with you? Who are you tapping to learn from? Who are you tapping to disciple you? And who are you tapping that may not be an expert, but they might just be a little further along on the trail? Who are you tapping to tell you their stories about where God is at work in their lives? And at the same time, who are you tapping to help walk the trail behind you? Who are you pouring into? Kids need disciplers. Teens need disciplers. Young adults need disciplers. Millennials, Gen X, baby boomers. It's across the board. All right, we've had kids asking adults, and we've had adults asking kids. Our adults asking adults. Now the third one is adults asking kids. Discovery has a high value, and we have a word that you probably don't hear in many areas of your life, and this word is reciprocity. Hey kids, for those of you who don't know, the word reciprocity means I have things to teach you, but I know you have things to teach me, regardless of how much older I am than you. But let's be honest, there's a good chance that most of you already knew that, because you're smart kids. The value of reciprocity means that one of the reasons we do family services is that while they're fun for some of us and exhausting for others, and we have a lot to teach kids and students in the room, there is a wealth of knowledge in this room, there is so much that we can share and teach, we actually all have a lot to learn as well. Because age and experience and wisdom is wonderful, but there are things that you start to miss and lose as you get older. There are things that start to fall apart as you get older, and there's just a different way that kids look at faith and relationship with God. Towards that end, I want to show a quick video up on the screen.
Have you ever believed in something so much that deep down, you just know it's gonna come true? Well, Jesus once said that you should believe, like kids do. And you know what? It's easy for us. Like when we're building forts or playing games, we just go for it. No doubts, no worries. Having faith like a child means you trust and know that God can do anything. Start by talking to God, like talking to a friend. And when you see someone who's hurt, know that God can make them better. And even when the dark tries to scare you half to death, remember that you are God's kid and He's got your back. Sometimes, grown-ups forget how to have faith like a child. They worry about all kinds of stuff. But Jesus wants you to remember what it's like to trust Him, just like when you were little. So, are you a child of God? Then trust Him. Trust Him with your whole heart. And just see what amazing things He'll do.
There's this trope that you find in certain books about the journey from childhood to adulthood. I think of stories like The Polar Express, that has that little bell that when someone shakes it, you can hear it if you believe in Santa. But as people start getting older, they stop being able to hear the bell. As they grow up, they stop believing. Or The Last Battle by C.S. Lewis, that talks about the four protagonist kids we met in the first book, one of whom isn't in the last book because she's grown up. She stopped believing in Narnia and Aslan and the world that she used to travel to with her siblings. She's grown up and pursued other more mature things. Stories of kids who have this world of wonder and excitement and joy and color, and they grow up and they lose some of that joy and wonder and color. And in all of these stories, it comes with this feeling of sadness and of loss, this loss of innocence, this loss of excitement and adventure, this loss of childlike wonder. What do we have to learn from kids? I don't know that I want to be so reductive as to say it's the passion and excitement and energy that they bring versus this wisdom and experience that adults bring. But there is a way that many kids look at God, how they look at faith, how they look at the wonder of who Jesus is, that we can start to lose as we get older. As we start to reduce God down to just the text from Scripture, our lived experiences and our faith journey, wrestling with doubts and questions and wins and losses, I tell you that my own children, who I think are brilliant, often talk about God in a way that is so different from what I experience, that I learn so much if I stop to listen, and oftentimes it's hard for me to stop and listen. I'll never forget reading this kid story Bible to my kids when they were younger. And there's this passage where it talks about Isaiah. It's a passage of Isaiah, and it talks about God's love letter to His people and God's plan to save the world. And I remember my wife and I are reading this to one of our kids, and we're so excited. It's just the story of Jesus. It's the story of God loving His people and saving them. And we're getting choked up as we're reading it, and we're trying to explain to our kids so they fully understand what it means that Jesus loves them and He saves them. And one of my kids looks at me and says, "Well, yeah. Isn't that like the whole point of the Bible?" And we're like, "Yeah, but do you see the depth of like God sending His Son?" And we really wanted to go into the depth. And my kid said, "No, I know that. I get that. Yeah, for sure." And so for my wife and I, who are trying to turn this into this big, deep theological moment, for my kid, it's just deeply ingrained. It's just a way of life. It's just who they are. Church, one of the reasons we do a family service a few times a year is because we have a lot to learn from kids. We have a lot to remember about when we were kids, and because whatever Jesus meant in Matthew 19:14 should be something we can't let go. It should be something that haunts us. Kids, here's the third verse for you to write down. It's a short one too. Matthew 19:14. "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Feels like there's something to latch onto there. Theirs is the kingdom of God. And there's a lot for us to learn from them. I think worship today is an area to learn. I think if you ever get a chance to check out our children's or student ministries, you get a chance to learn. I want to invite the band back up. When I was a youth pastor here, we had a metric we looked at to see how well we were doing. We would take a look at students who had graduated from our program, who were walking in faith when they graduated, and we checked in with them over the next 3 to 5 years. Our goal was that 5 years after someone graduated, they would still be walking in faith. If they were, that was so exciting. And if they weren't, we asked if there's anything we could have done. How much of that could we have done? How much could we have prepared them? It wasn't always or often our fault, but it's something we want to be aware of. Did we equip kids to take their faith into the real world? And honestly, we often did. We belong to an amazing church. Kids and students are loved and welcome here, and I think they know it. So church, thank you. Thank you for loving our kids and students. All of this brings me to an interesting book written by a woman named Kara Powell. Kara Powell is an author who works at the Fuller Youth Institute. And the Fuller Youth Institute conducted a study where they looked at growing churches across America to see if they could find any commonalities, especially as it related to kids and students. They put these findings in a book called Growing Young. Wonderful read, 10 out of 10 recommend. Now to me, a growing church can mean numerically or depth, more people in service, or just a church that goes deeper. But across the board for growing churches, they found three commonalities that were present in almost every church when it came to kids and students. First, they allowed and encouraged doubt. If you've been here for a while, you know this is a drum we beat. There are no off-limits topics or off-limits questions. They found in places where kids would come with a question, churches that said, hey, let's talk about that. Or the dreaded as a parent, I actually don't know the answer to that. Or let's figure that out. Those kids tended to do better in faith than the churches where they said, hey, why don't you just read the Bible and pray a little bit more? They allowed and encouraged doubt. Second, they had adults connected to students. One adult to five students. This is kind of how we do our student ministry. This is how we do our upper elementary. So we have caring adults connecting to students that do small groups. They connect. And the goal is to have somebody who's not the parent, who's just another voice pouring into them. Somebody who will connect with them, who will meet with them, who will just do life with them. This is the story of Timothy and Paul. Timothy is brought to church by his mom and has Paul, who disciples him, has this great one-on-one relationship. And the third way is they have adults connecting to students, roughly five adults per student, and that is not a typo. It didn't get that wrong. They found that in churches where kids were known, these kids had a deeper connection to faith. Again, last week we talked about Timothy, who had Paul. He had this guy pouring into him, but he also had Lydia, Aquila, Priscilla, Silas, Tychicus, people who just knew him by name. This is the kids who come into our lobby, and they hang out by the coffee when you're already running late for church and you can't get in. Do you know these kids and do they know you? This may sound like a sales pitch for our student ministry or our children's ministry. It's actually not. We have great volunteers, and though we can always use more, that isn't the point. So you and I know that there's a difference between being a part of a group and belonging to a group. I challenge kids to find adults and ask their stories, and some of you may have expected what's coming, but I have a similar challenge for the adults in the room. In an appropriate way, making sure to include their parents, can you ask some kids around here what their stories are when it comes to faith and life? Can you ask them to share stories? And if not that, can you help to make sure that they are known here? It doesn't have to be much, just saying hi. Asking about school to the kid who walks across the lobby who is terrified, or acknowledging kids as they run through the lobby to get to the nine square and have no awareness that there are other people in the way. Our students belong to a church that loves them, and I want them to know not only that are they loved, but they are known. They are known by name. They are prayed for by name. I have a dear, dear friend here at church who prays for kids. When I was a youth pastor, I had a couple of kids who had come to our youth group for a while, and she asked if she could pray for them. I said, absolutely. This was about 10 years ago. She still asked me about them today. She still prays for them. These kids will never know that she prayed for them. They don't attend our church anymore. I don't know if they're walking in faith at all, but there's power in knowing that there are people who know you and pray for you that you may never meet. How are we doing with that? Family Sunday is one of the few opportunities we have for intergenerational worship. It's an opportunity for us to see people across the room who aren't in the same stage as us and ask the question, what do I have to bring them? And what do they have to bring to me, regardless of age and stage, is the value of reciprocity. What are your stories and who can you share them with? How do you be prepared in every season to share the reason for the hope? I'm excited to get to worship with you all. I'm excited to get to worship with our kids. Thanks for being here. Let's pray. Hey, God, it's Jake. God, I thank you for the people who pray for people they'll never meet. God, I thank you for the people who acknowledge the kids running through the lobby, who wave, who smile, and make this a place where kids are known and they are loved. God, I thank you for the adults who pour into our kids intentionally in our children's and student ministry, and I thank you for the adults who acknowledge our kids and become those five adults for every kid. God, I thank you for a chance, as loud and potentially stressful as a Sunday like this is, to get to worship together. God, I thank you for these students on stage. God, thanks for today. Amen. If you're able, will you stand and join us for worship?